Right, you're very welcome along to the latest episode of the Sideline Cut podcast as we look ahead to Limerick's massive Munster Senior Hurling Championship clash with Tipperary this Sunday at the Two Scaillic Grounds. Great to have Munster Hurling back at the Ennis Road venue. The curtain raiser as well sees the Limerick Camogie side taking on Waterford in the Munster Championship from 2 o'clock. So a busy Sunday to come at the Two Scaillic Grounds. Luke Liddy here with you, joined as always by James Jim Bob Ryan, and we have a special guest in freelance sports reporter and commentator John Keogh sitting in this week as well. Looking forward to hearing John's thoughts on what should be a mammoth clash against Tipperary. It all kicked off with a dramatic comeback win over Clare and Ennis last Sunday for John Colley's men. We all know that you don't mess around with Jim. You can ask Davy Fitzgerald that, but you don't mess around with Limerick either.
Mark Rogers puts it over the bar, and it's now 5-1 in the second half, and it is all the banner, and it's 1-15-9. That's double scores.
And it's getting tougher and tougher for Nicky, obviously, because I'm saying about Limerick's body language, Clare's body language there. Mark Rogers put the ball over the bar. Instead of celebrating, he was being beckoned over to Dermot Burns. He'd been roared at to tune back in. So it's an uphill battle to state the obvious now. We're really up against it. 1-15-9 points.
On the 40, if this goes over, it does, and it's 1-15 to 13, and the 4 in a row for Limerick. And Colony sees it's 57 minutes on the clock, the gap is now 5.
On a very, very massive positive at the moment for Limerick, we're starting to hunt the goals a bit. That was another goal chance. Aaron Glenn's going to tip the ball over the bar to make it 1-15-11 points. But again, Clare looking a little bit brittle.
And Dave Fitzgerald is outside Becco Roman resting in the middle of the field, having been booked 2 minutes ago, and now the referee brings the ball forward. 58 minutes gone on the clock. 1-16-13, that's 19-13, that's 6. Yeah, what's a poorly mishit ball? Oh, it's got into the net! It's got into the net from Jimmy Barnes, maybe flicked in by Aaron Galland. Well, if we've all woken up.
It's all Limerick at the moment.
Ball won by Adam English. Down towards Donnacott. Dalek hasn't won a clean ball just yet. Bouncing away, Fish man. Garrett Hagerty inside. He needs it. He needs it. Oh, back in towards Donnacott. Dalek on the 21 yard line. Does he go for goal? He does go for goal! Oh, come at the hour! With Donnacott. Dalek bats into the back of the net. 2:14 is 21-16. Limerick in front. You can't believe it.
I'm telling you, Clare gone jittery here. How Limerick are going to bite up this game?
The space down in the corner for Garrett Higgity. Does he put it over the bar? Does he go for the juggler? He's going for... Oh, it's gone! It hit! Aaron Galland, it's going to be a square ball! It's going to be a square ball! It's going to be a square ball, Aaron Galland.
He's going to give it. He's giving it.
Hold on. Is he? Oh, he's giving it! 3:14-1:16. We've no replay. We don't care. Timber Burns up over the top towards Keelis. He's picked in the space in front of him. Tries to get away from 3 or 4 Clareman. Does he fancy a shot at goal as Keelis? Oh, it's like Kieran in 96 all over again. Up over the shoulder with the leg up in the air. And it's 3:15-1:17.
Great score. Great score. Great composure.
1:15-9 points down after 52 minutes. Nicky Craig goes short to the far side. That's it! Well, questions were asked. Answers were given. And Limerick come to Ennis and start the Munster Championship with a win.
You don't mess around with Jim. You don't mess around with Jim Bob. And I suppose you don't mess around with Limerick, James, because when you think you have them, you think you have their backs to the wall, they come out and they can put in a performance like that in the final quarter of a game, and up and running with a massive win against Clare. Must do a lot to Clare in terms of demoralising them mentally as well going into that game against Cork. But we've seen it so often, it's probably not even surprising from a Limerick point of view anymore.
Yeah, I definitely mess around with Jim before I'd mess around with the Limerick team at the moment. Anyway, I'll tell you that. Yeah, look, I suppose we'll talk about Clare going into the next match and maybe where's their psychology at. You can't help but even feel it as a Limerick fan that it felt like a bigger loss than just losing the first round of the Munster Championship for Clare. You could have told after the league final that they put a lot of emphasis on the first match. They talked a lot about Limerick. And look, we'd probably say if Clare won the game, the talk we'd have now is, look, their focus was on Limerick. You could see it after Leinster final. They were really up for the game and Limerick weren't. We'd be saying all these things after maybe 52 minutes. Limerick being down 9 points to 115, Clare score. So, look, whatever happened with Clare, and I know hindsight, it's all great and we all have the answers now, but you could actually, it was nearly visual on the field that you could see that even before Limerick got their purple patch or they started coming into the game, Clare just looked a bit leggy. David Reedy missed two shots. It wasn't even, like, obviously players going to take on a shot and miss him, but it was the nature in which he'd done it, and they seemed to be really like energy zappers to the Clare team, and the total opposite happened in Limerick. Like, in fairness to David Reedy, took two shots and there were only two wides, but all in that period of time, Clare seemed to lose all their energy and momentum, and the opposite thing obviously with Limerick. Limerick seemed like energyless for 52 minutes, and what we mean by energyless is just when the ball went dead, Limerick are usually really good on the restarts, and whether it be a sideline or a puck out, to be marking the nearest man and to be set up, whereas a lot of Limerick's or Nicky's puck outs in the first half, he was looking around and there was no movement. And maybe we can give Clare a bit of credit for that. Maybe they had all them positions closed down, they were all under men, they were touch tight, but there was just no movement going on from a Limerick point of view. And again, I suppose it comes up with the argument, what are we rating this Limerick team off? So when we say they're poor, are we rating them saying they're poor off their normal performance, or like, are we rating them off the All-Ireland final second half last year where just everything went their way, they won breaking ball, they won puck outs, they were moving. Like, so what are we rating when we say they're poor? Because I even saw a thing, I saw the Limerick Clare stats after the match, and Limerick had just as many shots or shooting opportunities. They had as many, they actually had four more wides than Clare had throughout the whole game. Limerick had more turnovers. I'm giving out about the puck out, and they actually won a higher percentage of their own puck out. So, like, when you go through the stats and they say stats don't lie, Limerick were actually, and I heard John Kiely and Grod Hegarty's interviews after the match, and they were way more maybe positive about their work rate in the first half, their turnovers. Now, they did say they needed to execute more of their shooting opportunities, but are we looking, what barometer are we rating this Limerick team off? Because if you look at the stats, now they're obviously 70 minutes, and I'd love to know the stats between the 58 and the 78, and John, whatever way you break down the stats into quarters, but in the whole scheme of things, Limerick beat Clare on the stats as well, and you can't do that in just 20 minutes. So I think if we're rating Limerick off Limerick at their best, you go into the All-Ireland final against Waterford a couple of years ago, or the second half against Kilkenny, we're rating them off that Limerick. Limerick were quite poor the other day, but you can't be going full throttle all the time. Players are going to be good, bad. It was the first round of the Munster Championship, so to be honest, the last 20 minutes they were that Limerick of old, but in that 50 minutes we're probably giving them a hard time because we know what they can do. I don't think they were as bad as we all think they were. We're just rating them off how good they can be.
Yeah, they have the highest standards of any hurling team since that Kilkenny side, I suppose. We're joined as well by John Keogh, Old Christian's greatest ever goalkeeping export and podcast king as well. Is this your third or fourth podcast you have to record today, John?
Fifth or sixth, Luke, yeah. I just want to remove myself from the Old Christian's comment there. There's plenty of people who disagree with that.
No, that's not what he was saying on the way in, Jim Bob, is it?
Or? Oh, he was telling us he was the greatest.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll take it.
John, I suppose just in terms of the day that it was, the sunshine came out for us. It was great to see all the colour around Ennis, obviously a big win over Clare. Then you had Waterford beating Cork as well in what was another mammoth tie. We had Davy Fitz fall into the ground on the side of the pitch, and it wasn't because Jim Bob came in with the shoulder, it was because he was just overjoyed by the victory and the work that's been put in. So two massive results, obviously. In terms of the psychological side from a Limerick point of view, getting that win was massive. We knew round one against Clare was going to be massive because there would have been jitters, there would have been apprehension coming into that game at the Two Scaled Grounds against Tipperary had they not come back and recorded that win. You buy yourself a bit of leeway, don't you?
That's what it's all about, Luke. John Kiely told us after the game, 2 points was all they were focused on, and you know it's about building into a Munster Hurling Championship. You know that Limerick, having won their first game, puts them in a good position going into their first home game as they do this Sunday. But for me, as you said, all those images you've spoken about, the beautiful sunshine, you know, a bit of drama here, there and everywhere, two away wins. That's what the Munster Championship is all about, has been, you know, since the dawn of time, even though it's in a reform thing with the round robin. It still is exciting, you know, that you know, pulling a rabbit out of its hat is Davy Fitz 101, like what he did with Waterford at the weekend. But going back to Limerick, like, it's, you know, it is literally job done. Move on to the next one. Biggest thing for me coming out of the game, and there's so many things we all take differently from each game, but for me, yeah, Limerick's bench came up trumps again, but it was very different bench impact from what it usually is, and with different players and Adam English to replay, like when you take off the likes of, okay, Mike Casey was injured, but you have Tom Morrissey, Aaron Gillan, William O'Donoghue coming off a team, you know, obviously Mike Casey being injured, you know, you're thinking who's going to come on here and do it, and we saw it in spades last Sunday with Adam English making the huge impact he made in midfield. Obviously Donoghue Dalig scoring 1-1 and could have had a couple of more goals, even if it, you know, but the nerves kind of took over with him. And you know, then Aidan O'Connor coming on to make his Munster Championship debut as well, and first ball he got in his hand turned, tried one over his shoulder, Hollywood shot, but it just showed the confidence for me of all these lads coming on, you know, and Peter Casey to come back into that Limerick team, you know, this Sunday as well. But yeah, you said it, look you were treated to a beautiful sunny afternoon in Ennis. Limerick, of course, hadn't won in Ennis since 1990 in the Munster Championship, you know, so that shows the level of task, even for a team that had won four All-Irelands in a row and the five Munster Championships in a row. You know, it was a huge, huge task going into a much, much fancied Clare side, and rightly so, a much fancied Clare side, given what they've done in the league, given their performances in the last couple of years. But like, Limerick won't care a jot about Clare's situation, nor should they. They'll care in the fact if Clare lose the Cork this weekend, it might be down the road. Not that we're looking too far down the road, but we'll always talk, we're human, mm-hmm. We look ahead and look ahead and look ahead. But if Clare don't beat Cork on Sunday, they're in a right problem. Maybe the best thing that could happen, Clare, if they do manage to scrape through like Limerick did all those years ago in 2018 now in a third position. But again, that's Clare's problem, not ours. Limerick getting off to a great start, albeit a performance that, you know, from our point of view for 52, 53 minutes, as Jim Bob said, well off the standard they set for themselves. But it's round one of the Munster Championship. It's April. Another thing I took from John Kiely after the game, they've had injuries in the build-up. Darragh O'Donovan obviously missing. Couple of other players didn't play in that game against
Casey
Kilkenny.
Going down straight away.
Casey and having he came off after 6 minutes. He was very impressive in those 6 minutes. Looked really, really on it. You know, Dan Morrissey hasn't been fully fit. Kyle Hayes' situation, being in a boot a few weeks ago as well. You know, all these things. And he said, we had a month to prepare for the Kilkenny game. Things go wrong in that month that you're not expecting to go wrong. Limerick got out of, I wouldn't say get out of jail, and it's, they deserved their victory. The team that always wins the game invariably deserves it because they've won it. Limerick did that last Sunday, and you know, puts them in a great position going into this Sunday.
Jim Bob, I think I was watching Donoghue Dalig the last day come on, and I know he fluffed his lines for one of the goal chances, but just the energy that he brings, obviously a goal threat, got that goal. You think back to Dowling 2018 coming off the bench. You think to Pat Ryan, obviously, that famous goal in the All-Ireland semi-final as well. Were we lacking a goal threat off the bench maybe up until now? Have we been lacking that the last couple of years maybe?
I think it's hard to say we're lacking anything
in terms of a player. No, I know what you mean. He's a nose for goal.
It's very hard to find a weakness in a team that keeps winning. So I'd be slow to say maybe they were lacking, but... I think what we have at the moment, and John alluded to it there, is we've loads of energy coming off the bench, and like there's going to be a bit of a transition when it comes. I don't know, like, because look, we all age. It's just maturity. Lads go into their prime. The likes of Donoghue Dalig there is on form. He's in his prime. I don't know, is he 22, 3, 4 years of age? He's in around that anyway. So he's and he's definitely after improving year on year in the last 3 years. He's just, I remember seeing him play in Conor Ford in an under-21 game. I think it was against Cork in the Gaelic Rounds. And he was named Conor Ford. He got a great score now from the sideline to hold up, but he was taken off after about 40 minutes. I mean, you compare him to that performance 3 years ago compared to what he's doing now. And again, right, he was a little bit jittery. There's no point saying anything, but... I think that could have been his first championship start.
Yeah, after two solid league
campaigns. So, like, the man's only human. Like, we were, and To be fair, the shot even, maybe Lucky went in, and if that got stopped, the men might have lacked serious confidence for the rest of the year. So it's going to do unbelievable good to his confidence going through the whole year. But I think to go on to John's point there, like being a manager or being a selector or trying to perceive what's going to happen in front of you, like everything I thought the other day was slightly off what happened. I saw John Conlon in the league final. I just thought he maybe he's gone that year older. He was taking shots that weren't done. He maybe was cut out a bit at centre back. He gave away possession once or twice. Said Limerick can really hit clear here in the centre back position. That didn't happen. John Conlon stormed into the game. He had a great game. I thought David Reedy wouldn't start off my starting 15 last week, just on pure maybe lack of league time and things like that. David Reedy was one of our better players by a mile. I was worried a bit about Dan Morrissey, not from his ability point of view, but he played all the first two or three league games. He had a lot of league time, and then he got injured, and I said maybe he might be a little bit off it. He was solid as a rock back there, I think. Yeah, Shane O'Donnell got one or two balls out in front of him, but it was because of the class of the ball coming in rather than Dan getting cut out. So, like, it's just unbelievable. Shane O'Donnell didn't play much for Clare. I said, how good can he be lacking league time? And he was one of their shining lights. He looked unbelievably sharp. So now I'm starting to think is, like where I have been kind of maybe a little bit negative towards the Limerick management stuff, saying, I think these lads need a little bit more game time, but they seem to be just boiling the lads up at a perfect temperature. Now, look, again, hindsight is great. Like, after 50 minutes, this is exactly what I would have been saying. I'd have been saying, Limerick players, I think they need a little bit more game time. I think we were a little bit sluggish, maybe. But I think the scariest thing, I think any team that's chasing, I can only make the comparison of a lion, the David Attenborough thing of a lion trying to take down an elephant. They have to see a small little bit of a weakness. And I think through the league this year, if I was a Clare player or a Cork player, a Waterford player, and you're there thinking, how are we going to bring down this five in a row team going for five in a row? You're looking for something. You're saying they're a little bit off the mark. They're lacking that bit of hunger that we were talking about. But that last 20 minutes, we saw serious hunger. And I think the scary thing, you can look at this in two ways. The scary thing from any other opposition looking at Limerick at the moment is, I have a thing in front of me here saying 54-28. Clare were 1:15 to 10 up. Then 65th minute, 65-21. Right, so you're talking the space of 11 minutes. 1:16 and Limerick are 3:14. The turnaround there in 11 minutes, and that wasn't a once off. They're actually making this purple patch go longer or score more in this purple patch. And it is actually scary. We're Limerick people and we're admiring the whole lot. But if you're from another county, you're like, Clare were on top for 50 minutes going on the scoreline, 1:15 to 10, they were on top. And suddenly in 11 minutes, they're behind. It's just phenomenal. And what they done last year in the second half of the All-Ireland final, they just came out. And obviously there was a strong wind all that, but they were just able to blitz it. The Munster final a couple of years ago against Tipperary, they're able to come on. So, like, yeah, you're trying to find weaknesses. And didn't Limerick come out and you've got everything right? I think Clare were happy with their game plan. Obviously, there's a couple of things to be disappointed with, but I think they were happy with their game plan. John Conlon was playing well as the sweeper. Limerick were maybe hitting the ball a bit too much to him. They looked solid in defence. Everything was going their way. And next thing, from the 54th, 65th minute, 11 minutes, they're just blitzed. So it's worrying times for... Now, if we are looking at it with our Limerick hats on, and I have had many discussions, maybe on podcasts, whatever, you can't be waiting for this 11 minutes. So if you're the manager, you're playing, you can't say, oh, there's 11 minutes coming there, we're going to score, we're going to onslaught the team. But at the moment, it's just what this Limerick team are able to do.
It is, and they seem to target second halves when teams get tired, and look, they bring teams in and let them get close to them, and then seem to just go out of the traps in that last quarter and get over the line. We've seen it time and time again. I think the whole way back to 2018, that Cork game, 8 points down, storming back in that one, forcing extra time. So they've been at us a long time, this Limerick team. Speaking of the Limerick team, John, obviously you mentioned Peter Casey. He's back in the mix now this week. Will he go straight back into that team, and who drops out? You look at Seamus Flanagan and Tom Morrissey, obviously coming out a little bit earlier probably than they would have been expected to, not shooting the lights out on the day. Cathal O'Neill as well in that first half, probably not a vintage performance, but grew into the game. Does he come in and who drops out?
It's very difficult, Luke. There's only two or three people that will make that call, and obviously John Kiely having the final say. Invariably and over historically, John Kiely's been very, very loyal to players that he picks. He doesn't overly make too many changes, but when a guy like Peter Casey, man of the match performance in last year's All-Ireland final, one of the most skillful players in the country with ball in hand, you know, he's obviously an option you're going to have to contend with. But as you said, the likes of Seamus Flanagan, Tom Morrissey, probably two of the more poorer performances from their point of view. From us watching in, we can have opinions, different things like that, but I think the two of them in particular, more so than anyone else, will be looking. Maybe I'll be lucky to start the next day, but wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if both start, because consistently over time, John Kiely backs his players. We've seen that so many times over the years. You know, we obviously have one change at the back with Sean Finn, more than likely to come in for the injured Mike Casey, and hopefully, given Mike Casey's horrendous injury past, thankfully it's not a knee, it was a hamstring issue, but that's certainly a few weeks away from
about 6 weeks, I'd say. Yeah, with a hamstring usually
depending on, you know, what grade it is of a tear. But you know, but you've other things then, like other guys that made an impact off the bench. Conor Boylan, who I didn't mention a few minutes ago, I mean, he had a huge impact off the bench, as Conor so often does. Maybe not often when he does start, he's one of the players taking off, but came in there, you know, for Tom and made a huge, huge impact in the game, winning a couple of frees, laying off some very good ball as well. So he's obviously a contender as well as Peter Casey. But Adam English's performance was a huge, huge tonic. James has mentioned, like David Reedy, I thought for me was his best game in a Limerick shirt, and that's saying something. He was absolutely everywhere, and even in the first half when Limerick weren't going well, it was David Reedy that seemed to be coming onto the ball more and more each time, looking for the ball, and then got a second point late on in the game to bring it to the 2-point game before, and Limerick's second and third goals, you know, and it was just a very well worked sideline cut. Limerick were in their groove at that stage. They were moving, but it was just an excellent bit of stop-start move from David Reedy. Got a yard of space and put it over the
probably
bar.
Probably the most consistent player from the back end of last season to obviously the start of this championship, David Reedy. He's an anchor, isn't he? He's so assured, and look, he can ping a ball 90 yards, no problem as well. So accurate. He's going to be a main man for Limerick this year again, you'd have to think. Like,
oh, he's forced his way into the starting team, and that's the best thing you can say for someone is, you know, it's so hard to get onto that starting team. Again, another thing John Kiely said when you asked him about Donegh O'Dolic's performance last week, a lot of these guys, they're itching and itching even further to get in to the 26th, to the bench, let alone the competition for the 1-15. So when you do get a chance, you got to bloody well show that I'm ready. And that's where Donegh O'Dolic's performance, yeah, there was a couple of fluffed lines, maybe kept coming back looking for the ball. That confidence comes from, you know, he did it all the way through the league. Another guy like David Reed had a superb league back towards the Kilkenny game, which, you know, we'll have to write off at this stage. But from a selection point of view, all of a sudden, you know, everyone thinks, yeah, we know the starting 1-15. But then you do have, like, that was Adam English's first legitimate part to play in coming off the bench. I know he was a blood sub in the Munster final last year, but that's his first technical Munster championship performance or display, you know. And the same for Aidan O'Connor. Donegh O'Dolic scoring 1-1 in the space of a few minutes in your first month. Like, this isn't any run-of-the-mill game. You're in Ennis. You're in the bear pit of it all. And true, to come away with that and the confidence they must take, you know, that's only a huge step up again for Limerick. It's a huge fill-up for Limerick. You know, and again, Peter Casey likely to come in. I think he could start. I think when you have a guy like that, when not everyone's performing, you'll find a place for him. And it could be Tom Morrissey or Seamus Flanagan. Hard to believe as that is, that it could be one of them dropping off. But my God, if you're in trouble 50 minutes into the game and you have Tom Morrissey or Seamus Flanagan to come on, as well as everyone else that'll be on the bench, you're in a fairly good place.
You definitely are, yeah. I was thinking that with Peter coming back, if he doesn't start, having him as an impact, you probably do want him starting a game, as you say. Probably one of the more skillful hurlers in the country at the moment, and man of the match in that All-Ireland final. But then if he does start, you've another finisher to come off the bench. So Limerick gets stronger this week. I do probably worry slightly about the full-back line, obviously, with Mike Casey out for probably 4 to 6 weeks. Sean Finn, was he moving a bit heavy towards the end of that game? Hasn't got a lot of hurling under the belt. Fergal O'Connor, I think, is a fine player, but coming into Munster Championship, if he's called upon, obviously that's going to be massive. You'd need him to have the same attitude as a Donegal Dalig and grab the bulls by the horns, because other than that, there's not too much cover, Jim Bob, as we continue into the season.
Yeah, I suppose if you go back to the Kilkenny team going for the five in a row, and the same, we often talk about, like, Kilkenny were missing Henry Shefflin, they were missing Brian Hogan. Henry Shefflin had to go off after, like, I don't know, was it 10 minutes, whatever. So they often maybe, it's often maybe talked through media like we're talking now, but like we have to remember, Limerick have had an awful lot of injuries. Even going into All-Ireland Finals last year, we were in dire straits in terms of starting debuts or our familiar team lining up, so the cover. But like, I just think Limerick have a strong panel. I think the fact we're you're on about the bench and you're on about possibilities, and like, what a place to be, that you've loads of options. Look, the way the championship has played out, even the way this Limerick team, and I know I make a lot of comparisons, but if you watch the Dublin football team that won their six in a row, and you watch the Kilkenny teams and any of the great teams, they're not all great all the time, and we seem to think that they maybe should be, because that's the barometer we're rating them off. If 1 to 15 aren't brilliant, we're saying Limerick are a little bit off it. But like, Grod Hagerty got man of the match last day. Keane Lynch stormed into the game. We brought on a load of lads off the bench. Declan Hannan really solidified the backs there in the last 20 minutes as well. Everything, maybe when everything's going your way, maybe lads look better. But like, going into the next day, whether Peter will start or whatever kind of scenario it's on, different people will show up. It's very, very rare you see Tom Marcy going off. Maybe it's very rare. I'm always saying it on commentary, the man does not miss. It's like he's got a radar, a GPS that goes straight between the posts. So he could, like, Tom Marcy start the next day could be men to matches. None of us here are going to have our hand up, yeah, to our mouth in shock. Yeah. Like, so it's just amazing that different lads can really up their games and be star performers on different days. And that's the way the group stage of this is going to go.
Yeah, well, it's your personal derby coming up against Tipperary now. The Galbally man, the Gary Spillane man, James Ryan, coming up against the old rivals this Sunday at the Two Scaillic Ground. The Camogie is on before that as well, must mention that. Limerick taking on Waterford in their Munster Championship opener, so looking forward to that as well. But it's Tipperary in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship this Sunday. Last time out, last year that is, we won't talk about the league game between the two sides. Limerick won that one. Last year's Munster Championship, it ended in a 25 points apiece draw.
Has he the range? Has he the range? Has he what? The crowd tells you it's 23 points to 23. That's why he's hurler of the year. And there's 7 times 11. 2.5 of the 6 gone. Have Limerick organised who's doing what? Dermot Burns has. Oh, turned over inside into the palm of Jamie Canlan. Canlan falls and over the bar it goes for Tipperary. William O'Donoghue, short towards Graham Mulcahy, has to get away from his man. Slips inside. Can he get the hand pass back towards William O'Donoghue? Goes past his man on the edge of the D. And advantage. And over the bar from Graham Mulcahy. Brilliant 1-2 play. 24 points apiece, level for the 8th time. Gets the hand pass out towards the accurate man. Are the spuds violent, Barrassi, from a hand?
Point.
Put the spuds on! One in front! A big free here, I'm sure. Doesn't give one now. Give one then. Yeah, that's not a free. And he's going to make a draw, but I'll tell you.
I think they're giving out about the delayed whistle as well. If it was a free, why didn't he blow it straight away? Yeah. He took a second or two.
Referee's going to make a draw at this, I can tell you now. It's 25-24 with a free to come. Linesman is telling the man to move the slitter back. So no, John McGrath, this is going to be a draw. Liam Cahill being, inverted commas, sent off. He's still standing in the same box. McGrath. Over the bar. Level again for the 9th time. Tipperary 25, Limerick 25. And the soft free.
Blowing it up.
The soft free at the end of the game from the referee. That's what he wanted in the end, in fairness to him. An anti-climax, for want of a better word. The game has ended at Semple Stadium in Thurles, 25 points apiece. But it'll all be about the referee and the decisions he made as Limerick play Cork next weekend with a chance to remain in the championship.
Jeez, John, I didn't realise that poor Sean Stack got that awful doing off Don until listening back there. He wanted to make a draw, that one, says Don. It was a draw game. It was a game, I was trying to think back to it a little while ago, that probably Tipperary should have won, shouldn't they? Limerick came storming back again, as they always do, and nearly snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. It was that late free that levelled it for Tipperary. But look, I suppose, looking on the back of that, and Tipperary coming in fresh, didn't have a game in the first week, could sit back and watch Limerick. This should be a cracking game, I think, on Sunday. And Tipperary, they're going to put it up to Limerick. Liam Cahill's second year in charge.
Yeah, I've no doubt Tipperary will come with all guns blazing to the Innes Road on Sunday. Look, the reality is we don't know where Tipperary are. Are they still smarting from that league semi-final last to Clare? They may not have wanted to get to a league final. It may have been that's where they wanted to finish up. They got what they needed from the league at that stage, but I don't think so. The manner of that defeat must have knocked them a little bit, but we saw last week with Waterford coming into that Cork game, no one knowing what's going on in Waterford. You're hearing this, you're hearing that. There hasn't been a peep out of the Tip camp in the last few weeks. Absolutely nothing. That to me smells like everyone's all of a sudden they've hunkered in. You know, Liam Cahill, absolutely fantastic manager. There was things at the end of the season with the Kildangan boys coming out saying there should be more lads this, there should, we're not being treated fairly, all this. So things didn't look right in the Tip camp. It remains to be seen whether that's still the case, you know, after that league semi-final, as I said, but I've never seen, there are very, very few occasions like the 2019 Munster final where Limerick obliterated Tipperary. Jim Bobby would be able to test to this as well, I'm sure. There's no easy game against Tip. There's no easy game anyway in intercounty hurling. But Limerick have never had it easy against Tip, and vice versa. Tip have always, you know, known Limerick over the years historically, are able to throw out a performance. But yeah, really looking forward to this one, actually. You know, last year was a very, very tight game. Sean Stack's performance, as Don mentioned, you know, it was a bit...
Aye, enough now.
Enough of that. No, but I'm just highlighting the fact, you know, there were a lot of frees given against Limerick. Again, there was a similar thing against Clare. There's a similar thing in most games that Limerick tend to, the way the tackle is pulled up by referees. I'd argue that in Ennis last week, the majority were frees, you know, and that's something, as John Kiley mentioned as well, that has to be worked on. Into that game, Liam Gordon's the referee this Sunday. He's refereed Limerick and Tipperary several times. He refereed the league semi-final last year.
Munster final as well, yeah.
Munster final as well. So, you know, he's a referee, you know, that is fairly close to getting an All-Ireland final soon enough as well. So Limerick and Tipperary, you know, it's just like Limerick and Clare for me. It's just, it's another right on the money, brilliant rivalry. Players haven't gone, majority haven't gone to UL. Good lot of that Tip panel have gone to UL and Limerick colleges in recent years. They all know each other very, very well, as well as the Limerick Clare lads. Yeah, so it's really, really set up for a cracker.
Jim Bob, the underage of Tipperary at the moment going really well, their under 20 team in particular. I suppose Liam Cahill as well, when he came in, they had success at underage grade as well. So he was trying to filter through younger players, the like of Jake Morris, obviously, Alan Tynan coming through with the kind of older stalwarts of that panel. Cahill, Barrett, obviously Bonner Maher, you have loads more, Noel McGrath as well. Does he have the right balance, do you think, coming into this one in terms of what you've seen in the league? I know Cahill Barrett didn't feature over injury. In terms of their team, in your mind, do you kind of have a Tipperary team in your mind that you think you know are going to take to the field on Sunday?
Look, no more than the 2E or anyone listening, I'd say we can name maybe 12 or 13 of them, but I think one of the worries that Tipperary fans that I'd be taunting to have is that they don't have a settled team. Like, even who's going to be number one at the moment? They're kind of going between Hogan and Shelley there and the whole lot. So, but the one thing is, I think John, you're dead right. There's always and always will be until the day I'm 6 foot under. There'll always be a game in Tipperary. I think the problem they have at the moment is just their consistency. Like, what Tipperary is going to show up? There's a load of variables, obviously, but like, if it's Tipperary that played last year in the first round of the Munster Championship, we're in trouble. We're in trouble big time. They came and they hit the ground running. But if it's the Tipperary that played the league semi-final or even against Limerick the last day, I know like there was only, 3 points in it for a finish, but they got a late goal. But on their day, they are capable. But they're so hot and cold at the moment. Like the league semi-final last day, they were missing free. Like Jason Ford come up missing frees. Doesn't happen. Like, you know, it's a bit like Tom Morrissey hitting a wide the last day. You know, things that don't usually happen were happening. They ended up putting on another free taker. Their long-range frees then went all over the place. Like they said in the Sunday game that they had three different free takers. I'd argue did no free taker on the field. You know, none of the three of them seemed to be hitting the ball with confidence. So I think anyone that ever played the game, or even as fans ourselves, we'd love to see our team having a lull in the league rather than the championship. So it's a massive game for Tipperary, not stating the obvious, but like Tipperary played really, really well in the Munster Championship last year, and then they just fell flat. It was a bit like the Clare against Limerick the other day. They played really well for 50 minutes of the championship last year, and in the last, like that league quarter final against Galway last year, a Tip would have been really disappointed. They were pathetic. Like there's no two ways, and they still nearly won the game. So again, like that'll tell you they're not a bad team, because even as bad as they were, they still nearly won that game. And who knows, maybe they would have got a bit of energy from it and all that. But it's just hard to know what Tipperary team is going to turn up. Even if I name my 1 to 15, the one thing I would say about Tipperary is you still have Cathal Barrett, Ronan Maher, Dan McCormack on his day, Noel McGrath, Garrod O'Connor, shining light coming under, Alan Tynan, for example. Like a lot of these lads, if they're on form and on song.
Mark Keogh does well against us
Mark
as well.
Mark Keogh. But they still have names that, and they always will, that are the top curlers in the country. Like Ronan Maher, Cathal Barrett, like. John saw Michael Breen fullback. He's solid. If all these lads click, well, no matter what team, they'll play against them, because since they're against any team in the country. And just to go back to your, I suppose, rivalry thing about being at home and stuff, I'm a big advocate of this Munster Championship, as we all are. But the lads at home, both the Tipperary and Limerick people, they miss the knockout where you used to go in the back door, because we used to get a bus. Well, not I used to be playing, but the lads used to get a bus to the matches, and if whoever lost had to come in the back door of the bus, and whoever lost had to come in the back door of the pub, the hill bar, the welcome in. So it was all the back door, and I think traditions don't lie if they get a bus. And this game, it's whoever loses comes in the back door. But
who will the man be cheering for now this Sunday? I saw an article during the year. She was a secret Tipperary fan while you were playing for Limerick, and she's kind of getting the colours out now, the Tipperary colours, is she?
Yeah, she was given out to me. I think it was misinterpreted. She's a Limerick woman true and true. She said, my son played for Limerick, I support Limerick. It's just, I suppose when I stopped playing, she is from Tipperary, so she wears the odd Tipperary top around the house. She's not back supporting them.
I suppose looking at the performances over the last number of years, John, and obviously the Tipperary we mentioned probably had the better of Limerick last year, 25 points apiece draw. Before that, 2022, it was Limerick 321 to 216. Then that Munster final, 229 to 321. The common theme here is second half comebacks from Limerick, isn't it? And finishing out that game. Are they trying to come to terms still with when Limerick bring you into those deep waters, the physicality, the mentality of getting over the line? Is that just something that Tipperary haven't nailed down yet?
I think it's every team having caught Limerick with that, Luke. It's every team that Limerick just wear them down and wear them down. And yeah, you think you're making big hits early on in the game. You're throwing your weight around. This is every team now, I mean this. And all of a sudden with 15 left, I think we saw it last week with Clare. They were leggy, as Jim Bob said. They did nothing left. And when Limerick withdrew everyone, you know, into the middle third, we'll call it, leaving Grod Hegarty and Donoghue O'Dolig in there and 2-on-2, you know, and there was only going to be one winner from there. But yeah, I think, look, Tipperary, like every other team, have that challenge of meeting that physical intensity that Limerick have. Since 2018, I think Kilkenny in 2019 are the only team to match them and outdo them a bit in it. Kilkenny for large periods, Waterford for large periods in recent years, Cork for large periods, Tipperary, Clare, they've all got to a certain level, but Limerick have come out on top. I know it was a draw last year in a kind of a fractured game where Limerick blew hot and cold and Tipperary the same. But yeah, that's a thing that every team has to contend with. But I think Jim Bob has hit the nail on the head with Tipperary. It's the consistency. It's consistency on the field. It's consistency in selection as well. It was a thing I was going to bring up before you did about the goalkeeper situation. They haven't had a regular number one, really. Darren Gleeson, I suppose, was their last one. Darren Gleeson was a long-term, you know, playing second fiddle to Brendan Cummins like so many other Tipperary goalies were up to that point. But there's been chopping and changes between Brian and Barry Hogan. Now Reece Shelley, who's a fantastic goalkeeper in my eyes, as are the two Hogans. So it's either one of them. But you look at all around the Munster Championship, there's goalkeeping questions everywhere except for in Limerick. You know, in Clare last year, you had Avery Quilligan dropped for the first game against Tipperary, and Eamon Foote, he didn't have his greatest day, just knocked a hammering. It's not all down to the keeper or something, like when things go wrong, but it just wasn't a good day at the office for him. Waterford have it at the moment too with Sean O'Brien, and can't remember the name offhand of the other goalie who plays outfield for him. Is it Billy Nolan? I think it's Billy Nolan. He plays out the field and can play in goals as well. You've questions down in Cork with Patrick Collins. It's a huge, huge thing, because you're, look, I'm saying it from a goalkeeping point of view as well, but it's the guy who has his hand on the ball in his hand, unchallenged every time. He's the guy who restarts the game. And Limerick have used Nicky so, so well over this successful period. He's been imperious along with Owen Murphy. They're the top two. And then there's a massive drop. So if you don't have that alone consistent, I'm sure at 100% at the beginning of the league, Liam Cahill knew who he wanted his number one to be for championship. But that didn't reflect in who was picked during the league. So even if it isn't a worry in his mind, or it isn't a competition in his mind, the full back line want to know who their goalie is at all times. The half back line want to know. The midfield, the whole way up the field, it all starts from that goalkeeper position. And that alone can cause a few issues. And they did it last year. They sprung a surprise by playing Rhys Shelley against Limerick. Rhys Shelley ended up scoring a point, if I remember correctly, in that game as well. You know, but these are things, these are the imponderables with Tipperary. We just don't know. We don't know what level they're at. We've seen Gerard O'Connor, the likes of Brian O'Mara, who's on the outskirts of the Tip team, boss in the Fitzgibbon Cup from UL. And we know there's a big step up from Fitzgibbon to Intercounty. But you need to see certain indicators from these players at that level to see if they're going, they have even a chance of making it at senior Intercounty. And yeah, Tipperary could come out all guns blazing, as I said earlier, to the two Gaelic rounds on Sunday. But the reality is we just don't know what they're going to bring. And at this stage, Limerick, you know, I know we're not getting prediction times yet, but Limerick have met so much in recent years, unless it's a huge, huge surprise, like probably what they did in that Munster final under when Limerick came back with that second half comeback. You know, Liam Sheedy's team, and you saw Liam Sheedy at halftime egging his players on even further. What Tipperary needed to do that day was withdraw and try something different for the second half. They didn't. They thought they had it cracked, and Limerick, you know, did what Limerick do in exceptional fashion. So the real question is what, as Jim Bob said, what Tipperary is going to turn up? We don't know. And the bigger question, I suppose, is do Tipperary even know?
Jim Bob, just looking back, and I'm not 100% on this, but I think the last two championship meetings between Limerick and Tipperary, Jason Ford wasn't available. Definitely didn't play last year anyway, and I don't think he played the year before. You go back to 2021, he was imperious in that first half. He's a man that can do break on his day, isn't he? Another generational hurler. We talked about Tony Kelly last week. Obviously, he came off the bench for Clare, but Jason Ford, a real danger man for Tipperary.
Yeah, and I actually forgot to mention him when I was going through Kyle Barrett, Michael Breen, Ronald Marrett. So, yeah, and that's,
oh, I know that. That's why I brought him up.
And that's the other thing, Luke. Tipperary has some classy forwards, and they're all like they're all intercounty hurlers. They're from Tipperary. They're all able to hurl. Have no doubt about it. But yeah, look, we don't know what Tipperary are going to be like, but like it's the first round for them. They've had a chance to see Limerick. So tactics and game plan wise, I presume Liam Cahill will let them know the team early. They've obviously been practicing, or they're going to set up for Limerick and all these kind of things. So, look, it's kind of a shot for nothing for Tipperary as well. Nobody's expecting them now, I don't think. I definitely think Limerick are going to go in as favourites after beating Clare, who were the league champions all that. So like it's actually, from a mindset point of view, it's kind of like that siege mentality that David Fitz had for Waterford. If Liam Cahill's inside in the dressing room saying, lads, it's a shoot, it's a kick for nothing here, we've nothing to lose, we need to see where we're at going forward for the rest of the year, we're going down to the Gaelic grounds, it's an away game, all the pressure is kind of not with us anymore. They'd actually been under more pressure, we'll say, in terms of getting a result if Limerick lost the other day, which sounds crazy, but hopefully you're both nodding, so hopefully you know what I mean by that Limerick would have to win, and Tipperary could have been the team to knock Limerick out of the championship door, and they'd have all that build-up coming up, whereas now everyone's just expecting and presuming. Now, they always say it, don't ever presume, but we're all expecting Limerick to win. I suppose just while John was talking there as well, I was just kind of thinking to myself, where are Limerick at compared to last year, maybe, and where are Tip at? Like Tipperary drew with Limerick last year, and Waterford should have beaten them, and then obviously Clare beat them. But in them three results, I would argue the fact that Limerick were way off. And what I mean by that is in terms of unforced errors, in terms of sloppy hand passes and the whole lot. Like, they were more sloppy last year. I'd have called them sluggish the other day for 50 minutes. Like, their tackle count was still really high throughout the whole game. Their passing was slick. They kept on to position fairly good. It was just maybe them restarts and the energy of the team, and it just kind of, maybe it's first round championship again, we're on about the barometer, but they weren't sluggish and sloppy. So, like, rating Tipperary drawn with Limerick last year, I'd have felt, the bit I can remember that game and kind of going through my head, Limerick made a lot of unforced errors and kept Tipperary, like, Tipperary done all the things right, whatever, but Limerick kept them in the game. I hope Tipperary aren't coming in, hope and Limerick are going to do that next year, because if Limerick come out, again, stating the obvious here, but if Limerick come out and start the game like they finished the game the other day, or played anyway like they did in that 20 minutes, well, if inconsistent Tipperary come, they're in serious, serious bother. Because they drew last year, but they'll need to improve, because I think this Limerick team are in a way better position in terms of the way they're playing at the moment than what they were last year.
Yeah, well, Tipperary came out of the traps last year, didn't they? They scored 5 goals against Clare and really put them to the sword. Clare, then we got the brunt of that at the 2 Gaelic Grounds the following weekend, because they beat us by a point and spilled out onto the pitch. Still don't like that memory, but what can you do? John, I suppose, looking at this Limerick side, if they do get over the line against Tipperary, which we're hoping and probably expecting that they should do if they bring their A game, you're more or less done or dusted in Munster at that point. You probably need a point from your last 2 remaining games to go through. Obviously, you'll want to finish with momentum, but what a place to be in compared to last year, where you were going into that Cork game not knowing whether you'd be in the championship by the end of it.
Famous last words, done and dusted. I've never seen.
More or less.
I know.
The point you're making. 90% of it done. Like,
no, I know the point you're
nearly
making.
Completed.
Nearly completed. Maybe. Yeah. Look, that you were saying it after the Clare game last year. Geez, if we can get over Clare, we're in this amazing position. And you know, I think there was a lot of talk before the start of this championship this year, where home advantage, you know, so important. Sure, last year there were so many away wins. You know, Limerick beating Waterford technically away from home in Thurles, you'd Tipperary beating Clare first, now Clare beating Limerick. You know, it followed on, that home advantage wasn't really an advantage till maybe, as you saw, Limerick beating Cork when they really, really needed to get into it. If they come out with the 2 points against Tipperary this week, it's an unbelievable position. You couldn't have bitten the hand off John Kiely, I'd say, for that. You know, they would have been absolutely ecstatic to get it. But there's pitfalls everywhere, Luke, and we were saying these exact same things this time a year ago. Sure, if we can get over Clare, we're halfway done. It doesn't work like that in Munster Championship. In Leinster Championship, you may be able to get away with that, having an off performance, an off day, and still winning comfortably. It doesn't happen in Munster. Your one performance, we even saw it with Tipperary, a Munster final berth and in their hands against Waterford, and Waterford turned up again like they can so often do, as we've seen over the years, with one of these performances that you just don't see coming. So anything can happen. We could be talking next week, or you could be talking next week, Tipperary put a spanner in the works here, it's back to reality, away to Cork, a must win game then a few weeks later. So, you know, there swings around about some months, or it's never straightforward. Hopefully, from our point of view, we're hoping for a straightforward, you know, run. Yeah, we beat Tip, then sure, we can stroll down to Cork, not play for a draw, but knowing a draw is doing enough, and still knowing we've Waterford at home to come. But yeah, I don't see it working out that simply, sadly.
Parky Cueve is our new home venue anyway. That's where we play our hurt. That and Croke Park, isn't it? Croke Park and the mini Croke Park.
Is the one. Yeah.
Except for against Kilkenny in the league. Yeah.
The Gaelic Grounds, Jim Bob, obviously I mentioned this last week and you nearly bit my head off. So it's no big deal. They haven't been into the 2 Gaelic Grounds, and you know, these are small things. They have trained. I think they trained ahead of that Clare game they got in. So look, they've been able to at least get a training session under the belt in there. In terms of returning there after so long, and the colour that we're going to see on Munster Championship Day again, maybe we won't get the same weather, hopefully we will, but it's going to be great to have it back. I mean, we did miss out in the league. You miss out in the coffers as well for Limerick GAA on that front as well. Definitely it was missed, and looking forward to coming back. And on the double with the Camogie should be cracking day.
Oh, it's going to be a cracking day. Full stop. We know from our experiences last year, even the Munster final last year. So, like you're saying about right, they haven't got to train there much this year. And don't get me wrong, it has been maybe effective or maybe not ideal, but like the very minute they trained there during the week, there's no doubt about it. They were having memories of the final last year. Pat Gaelic Crowns, I mean, some of the best memories I think anyone that ever heard for Limerick, go back to the 80s, 90s, noughties lads I'd be meeting. Gaelic Crowns, it's our home. It's our favourite GA ground in Limerick. Anyone that plays, it's the Mackey stand and it's full. And Tom Morrissey's interview last year and the wave of people shouting up, just everything about it was just so good. And how many memories, the point I was probably trying to make is, look at the memories they've made in that exact grounds. The amount of days since 2018 we've walked out of them gates with smiles all over. Last year we played Cork there even, and just the pure elation. It was like actually winning the All-Ireland. It was actually kind of more because people weren't expecting it. We finished, we went in playing Cork, the ball was thrown in, and up to about 70 minutes we didn't know whether we were still in the championship or not. And next thing, the final was the Blue, we were in the Munster final. Just everything worked out. It just seems like a venue where everything seems to have went right. And look, then somebody can argue or takes in afterwards, says, sure, didn't Clare beat us there last year? John, it's not ideal, but they've had so many. I think the good memories there in the last couple of years certainly outweigh the ones that went wrong. But again, you're dead right. Like, if Tipperary come and beat us next week, which they could, like, we predicted, we both said Limerick, Clare and Cork were going to come out of the championship. And we said we wouldn't be surprised if Tipperary, and we said Waterford, they're just so inconsistent like Tipperary, and they've been inconsistent last year in the championship, and their league was terrible. We just said, and we were basing it on pure stats and facts over the last couple of years. And I think if we look at the table at the moment, Limerick are on top, Waterford are second, and Tipperary are third without even winning a game, because the other two scoring differences is worse. So yeah, look, I love the Munster round robin. I love the ups and downs. I think we all love it at the moment, because we're always seem to come out on top of it, and we're Munster champions how many times in a row. But look, there'll be a lot of ups and downs. That's why we watch sport. But at the moment, I don't think Enid Blyton or Seamus Heaney or any of these could have wrote Limerick script any better than last week. Limerick come on with an 11 minute performance and kind of just blow Clare away for that period and win. And then Cork get toppled against Waterford. We're not writing off Waterford by any means, but now Cork have to play Clare, like you said. So everything just went Limerick's way, but it's only week one. There's four more weekends, including the team that gets the bye. And the only other thing I'd say as well is we need to look at this, like, you know, strength and condition coaching, though, all that. They look at it from a player's point of view about periodisation, though, all that. Any team that has had the bye in the first round, they perform quite well in round two. I don't know, is it the excitement of getting out of the traps and finally their day has come, and like, you're preparing for championship all year long. And again, if we look last year, you know, I know Waterford, I keep saying it, Waterford put everything into Limerick game, but they were really flat after week one. And again, that step up we're talking about from league to championship, and then even the weather last week, like, I'm not saying weather or whatever, but it's the climatisation. Like, they even went over to Portugal for a bit of warm weather trend. Now, it was kind of warm over there, I believe, but it was raining. So, like, the heat last week would take a lot out of the body when you're not used to that sun. Like, I was only lying around. I was doing the commentary Sunday when I was in shade, and the top of the head wasn't great. I was nearly feeling the heat. So, the lads were running around, few injuries, hard to adapt to this weather. So, like, if they're a little bit energy less or take some while to get going, all them things kind of come into play next week, and Tip are coming in fresh, so there is a lot of variables, but you'd imagine Limerick will have enough to come over the line.
Yeah, Tip had a warm weather camp of their own as well, I think, in Portugal, but it was a bit later than they anticipated, so I think it was only a couple of weeks ago. So whether that helped or hindered them, or whether it's true, or whether I've my facts wrong, I don't know. But Jim Bob reckons we'll get over the line, John, will we?
I can never back against this team, Luke. It's you know, They're in the worst possible place they can be after 50-odd minutes against Clare. Clare oozing confidence. Clare, this is it now. Clare are real. They've toppled Limerick in Munster. They've beat them again now in their own heads. This is it. And 11 minutes later, you know, it's game over. You know, and that's the mark of the great teams when they need it most. It's really like you mentioned earlier, and I know we're not concentrating on Cork and Clare. I think that's a bigger game than Limerick Tip. We're going to look at Limerick Tip being obviously our focus, but I just think so. It's season ending, like, you know, and that's with two games to play and your season's over. I mean, you're really hitting the depths of it then. But for Limerick, you just can't. How can you back against them? Genuinely, you know, it's, you think something, you know, oh, it's not. When's this bubble going to burst? Like, but this group of players don't think like that. And that's the important thing. It's their mentality. I was saying to you before we went on air that, like, I had a great vantage point for the game last week. I was right behind the Limerick dugout. There wasn't a worry there. You couldn't visibly... Don't you see, you're at any game, you're watching things, and you're looking for signs of, are things a bit off here? Because Limerick weren't really at their best on the field. There wasn't. The only thing I heard John Kiley say all day was energy.
Mm.
Sure, he said plenty more on top of that. but you know what I'm saying? It was all positive messages. There was no... Maybe the odd free that was given away, there was a bit of chatter, but there was just so much... There must be so much belief in every one of them together as a group. But in their... We all know there's serious belief in the system because it's been so successful over... But like, when you see this happening time and time again... You must, in a way, you heard Carlo Tegarty talking about it as well after the game, and I think he was doing another gig Monday, where, you know, I didn't even know we were 9 points down, you know. Now, whether that's true or not, but you're so engrossed in what you're doing that you know if you're doing the right things that you're supposed to be doing according to your coach and whatever else, which it's natural you're going to win because they've so much in the bank that has been successful over such a sustained period of time that they must be on cloud nine. And their belief, I say it again, 9 points down in Ennis, haven't won there in 34 years. Sure, so what?
History means nothing.
No, but it means mentally it means. Yeah, but to them, no, look, they've made their own history anyway. And not that they want to keep making their own history, keep winning more while they can, because this bubble will sadly, mightn't burst, but it may deflate severely, you know, over the next couple of years. But at the moment, Luke, you just can't bet back against them. And, you know, long may it continue.
Long may it continue. John Kiley was on to me about that. You were behind the dugout in case Nicky Quaid went down, just to let you know, all Christian's greatest ever goalkeeper.
There would have had to be an awful amount of goalies. And me and my pomp, there still would have been about 50, 60 goalies ahead of me, and there's no fear of that.
Jim Bob, talk about that Cork and Clare game. Obviously, it's winner takes all in terms of keeping pace and staying in the championship, really, isn't it? Because you have two games left. If you lose that one, I mean, it could be a draw, could well be a draw. But what way are you seeing that go? Like, are Clare going to be bouncing in after that 50-minute performance and saying, if we keep that intensity, we'll win it? Are Cork kicking themselves because maybe they didn't take Waterford as seriously as they should? What way are you seeing it?
It's a tough question, to be totally honest. I think the biggest difference between Limerick and Clare, and maybe this is why one has a lot of trophies won and one doesn't, is the mindset and mentality. So, like I spoke about this in a clip after the game, that Limerick, even though they won the other day, I have no doubt about it, because I watch sports interviews and I follow teams, and I know a lot of lads inside that dressroom. A lot of them will be very disappointed. Like, they'll be delighted with the collective win, don't get me wrong, 2 points in the board. But they really do take this step by step, and they have a winning mentality. And any player in any sport, and we're talking Limerick of some of the most accoladed, greatest players nearly ever to play the game, right? So they look at their own performance last week and they're saying, I can do better than that. So if we're rating them off their barometer, they're rating themselves off, like, I know they do. They rate themselves off, I can do better than that. So a lot of them will be kind of saying, yeah, I done okay for 20 minutes, but they'll be looking at the 50 minutes more than we talking about that 20 minutes. Oh, they're great and wonderful. They're looking at that 50 minutes, say, he beat me at that ball. Like, they will look at it saying, 1:15 to 9 points down, that's not good enough. The majority of them will anyway. And like you're saying about belief and all that, that's just winning mentality, like nearly refusal to lose even when you're playing poor. But they'll be very disappointed that they played poor. To be trying to get answers. So the management and selectors and all that are kind of maybe trying to get answers, but the players themselves are trying to get answers. So that's dangerous for Tipperary. Now, you asked me about, obviously, the Clare-Cork game. I just can't read Cork's mentality, because, like, we're on about Tipperary being inconsistent. I mean, Cork could actually come out, if Clare's folks a little bit off at this point last week, come out and blitz them. We say, hey, Cork are serious contenders here. I'm saying that I'm rating teams off the way they played against Limerick last year. Limerick were very sloppy against Waterford and Clare and Tipperary. They drew them, but they were playing a little bit better than they did the other two. But Cork matched them. Limerick were sharp. They had to win the game, and Cork matched them score for score. And then last week, they come into the first round championship against Waterford. Right, Waterford had a strong team named out again, the whole lot. And David Fitz started up this whole siege mentality, everything with Waterford's way. But Cork gave them a fair push along the way. They were they were kind of just a little bit fightless back to their old self. So it's a very, very hard question to answer. If Clare are a team of winners, and you don't often, I know I'm contradicting myself here, you don't actually have to win the Liam McCarthy, or like they won the league this year, you don't have to have the trophies to have a winning mentality. They've got a couple of young lads in there, it'll be interesting to see their steel. If the Adam Hogan's, Mark Rogers, and then your David Fitzgeralds, who didn't have his best game last year, he wasn't bad, nobody wasn't, we know what he can do. If they have a winning mentality, they're going to come and they're going to look forward to this Cork game the weekend, and they're going to try and up the performance. Obviously they're going to say, hi, we can play better than that, and that could be the worst game they play all year, and they could go anywhere. But it's going to be very, very hard to lift, get them out of the mindset they're in where they threw away the game. So I don't know what way it's going to go. I know I'm not answering your question, but I it'll be interesting to see. And you were saying there at the off air there about the spread, how they always get it so right. I'll tell you, whoever's doing the actuary for Paddy Power this week is going to have a fair tough job to judge that one.
You rarely answer my questions, Jimbo. That was a roundabout way of saying I don't know who's going to win between Cork and Clare.
That's a draw. That's a draw.
John, but just we're wrapping up now. But obviously, the underage hasn't been going well from a Limerick hurling point of view. And you look at the likes of the Donegal Dálaigh breaking through. Cathal O'Neill has come through. Adam English, obviously, Fergal O'Connor. I suppose this cohort of Limerick players, a lot of them broke through at the same time, so a lot of them are maybe going to be coming to the end at the same time. So is it a worry right now that it doesn't seem to be going our way at underage level? There's an under 20 game on tomorrow evening that the result might tell a different tale in terms of when the podcast is out, but should we be worried or what way?
Worried is a strong word. I don't know if it's a worry. These things are cyclical, Luke. The unprecedented success, maybe not for minor All-Irelands. We won two under-21s, All-Irelands under-20s as it is now. We didn't come out with a minor from this group that have now won multiple senior hurling titles. They've added, this is what John Kiely has been lucky at. Somebody, and the same with the 20s in the last few years, they won Munster titles and were unlucky not to win maybe a couple of All-Irelands since then, since 2017. I'd be more worried. You know, you look at the 20s team that have taken to the pitch in the first couple of games. Obviously, Cork is next up for them. They didn't perform against Clare. Didn't really perform against Tipperary outside of the opening quarter either. Like, a couple of years ago's minors team had a very tough year three years ago minor team. So you're looking at the 20s this year, and we'll talk about the minors in a sec, but you look at the 20s this year, there's five or six lads on that team or on that panel certainly that are just turned 17, that are just out of the minor age, that were playing Hearty Cup, you know, this year as well. So you have to understand that minor now isn't gone 18 to 21, it's gone 17 to 20. That's a massive, massive gap. But that's to be said for all teams, so we're not looking at that really. But it has to be said too that Limerick are a little bit light maybe at the same quality they had consistently at under 20 level for a number of years. Whereas you do have to play three or four lads that, as quality as they are, and there are likes of Matthew Fitzgerald, Robert O'Farrell, high, high quality players, but are they ready for under 20 hurling yet? Maybe, maybe not. They haven't fully hit their conditioning peak yet, and they won't do for probably 10 years, but they're probably a year or two too early for 20s, but pushed into action early. Evan Loftus was obviously with the minor team last year, so he knows these lads, has the trust in their ability, but are they ready for 20s as of yet fully? Against, like, on the flip side, that you, Darren McCarthy, who captained, you know, Nina CBS to the Hearty final, he shot out the lights against Limerick in McNeville Park a couple of weeks ago with an exceptional performance. But Limerick are relying on too many, is what I'm saying. The minor one is a bit different, you know, disappointing performance against Cork. The last day out, they didn't score from play in defeat, you know. That's a worry for me more so. And that's a team that won their respective 16s competition last year. Why has that stalled? It's early in the year too. These are very, very young lads. Some may develop later than others, you know, but go back to my initial point. It is cyclical. This success isn't going to last forever. It can't. It's not possible. You've seen it with Kilkenny. When was the last time they won an All-Ireland? 2014? 10 years without an All-Ireland for Kilkenny coming into this year. You know, that's unheard of. This period of success for Limerick, we've had underage success. Munster final success in 2013 was their last success coming into 2018 when they won the All-Ireland. But from 2013 to 1996, we'd no Munster title in Limerick at hurling level. You know, so albeit there was an All-Ireland Intermediate title in there in 97-98, around then, you know. So this unprecedented success with these, you know, layer after layer of player coming through, and mind you, I'll say it again, players that came on the other day, and I mentioned again, Adam English, Colin O'Neill started, as you mentioned, Donoghue, Dalig, Aidan O'Connor, you know, these guys are just out of 20s a year and a half ago. So where's the balance? These guys are coming through. Furthermore to that, you look on the bench, you had Fergal O'Connor, as you've mentioned, not on the bench. Darragh Langan, Ronan Lyons. Darragh Langan was playing Freshers Hurling. He's with the 20s. He played Freshers Hurling this year. They're part of the Limerick Senior Hurling panel now. So it's not as if the talent pool has dried up. It's just maybe there isn't as many future senior stars on the 20s and maybe minors coming through right now. It's not to say there's not three or four. And all it, and they're very open about this, and Jim, by you given your professional capacity as well. Yes, you want to win games at these age groups, but the whole thing is about providing players to be ready to step into the senior setup. And Limerick consistently have done that the last 10 years. So, you know, maybe not success trophy-wise at minor and 20s this year, the next year, maybe in the near year after, maybe not for another long time. But there's players coming through that we'll be talking about 4 or 5 years' time, I think, certainly. Maybe not the standard of what's there now, because, I mean, you're talking about generational players, but Limerick hurling underage is in very good state coming through.
Excellent. A more serious question now. Do you enjoy recording this podcast more than the Sport in Limerick podcast with
no
Tom
comment.
Dempsey?
No comment.
Jim Bob, anything to add before we go?
No, just while John, just to summarise everything John said there, the only other thing you have to look at as well is, well, two things. Cork have been the team winning all the under-20s and minor. Well, not all, but they've been really successful if you go through the Roll of Honour since 2020 with it. We still haven't seen them break through. And that comes on to my second point, that minors now are under 17. They're 15, 16-year-olds. Very unpredictable. I can only go back to when I was playing myself. I'm out of my coaching it completely. We were minors, so that was 18 at the time when we were playing. And just for argument's sake, say we had a panel of 26. You could have picked a different team on the performances every week. And we got to the Munster final, lost and the All-Ireland final, and should have won or whatever. But it's just, and we were 18, we were a year older again. It was such an unpredictable age of performance. And on my last point, in under 20, I know it's only a year behind under 21 to say simple maths, but maturity wise, college hurling. And again, the point I'd make as well, that a lot of people maybe haven't thought about, is strength and conditioning came in. Inter-county teams were probably only doing it consistently maybe in 2013. So then you had your likes of Keane Lynch and maybe all these lads in other counties as well. And they started strength and conditioning at 14. So they were nearly as strong at 19, 20 as an adult player, because they had their bodyweight exercises done. They were lifting with weights. But now when you're 18, 19, you might have 4 or 5 years of strength and conditioning done. But then Morrissey has 15, 16 years of strength and conditioning. So now the gap is there again. Yeah. So there's just a couple of things you need to, variables you need to. But as you say, if you can get one or two from each underage team, senior is the standard. Obviously, you want to be winning things a whole lot. But I've often seen teams win All-Ireland. Like on the last point, that Barry Nash, Keane Lynch, Tom Morrissey, they were all on the one minor team. And they didn't win the All-Ireland. Yeah. Like, it's just, I know maybe I'm using an exception, not the rule, but imagine putting them back now, like, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, we're enjoying the success at the moment anyway, and hopefully a successful day on Sunday with Tipperary coming to the Two Scaillock Grounds for a 4 o'clock throw, and we'll have full live commentary of that one. James Ryan joined by Mal Keaveney in the commentary box. Thanks to our special guest John Keogh today. Don't forget to get in early as well for the Camogie. Limerick taking on Waterford in the Munster Senior Camogie Championship, that one throwing in at 2 o'clock. Come out and show your support for that one. That's it for this episode of the Sideline Cup. We'll be back next week, hopefully looking back on a win over Tipperary. We'll talk to you then.